Glory to God. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. I know, sometimes, you know, I think we act like it was our idea, but it wasn't, right? He loves us, loved us when, you know, I used to say He loved us when we were unlovable, but I don't know that we've ever been lovable, so we compared to Him, but He is so good and His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to continue talking about the principles of increase. The principles of increase. We're going to read our keynote here, a section of Scripture, Psalm 115, verses 12 through 16. Psalm 115, verses 12 through 16. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. How many of you know God's got blessing on His mind? God's been thinking of us, but look at that. He's thinking about ways to bless us. It says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You know, God wants to bless us so much that not only does it affect our lives, but it affects our heritage. It affects those who come after us, our family. It affects others around us. You know, the blessings of God are not just for me. You know, it's not just, us four and no more. It's for everybody. The blessing, the more blessed I am, the more of a blessing I can be. Amen. It said, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men. Now, we could take that last portion there and spend a long time talking about that, because I think a lot of folks, a lot of Christians, unfortunately, a lot of church folks are looking for something to come out of heaven somehow, some way, for God to rain down something out of heaven to meet our need, when He's already given us everything we need, and it's right here in the earth. Amen. You know there's enough wealth in this earth for everybody to have more than they could ever use. Everybody. I'm not talking about just every. I'm talking about everybody that's ever breathed on the earth. There's unfound riches and wealth and provision in this earth. You say, well, what about, you know, this? Are we getting overpopular? You know what? God knows every person that's ever going to be born on this earth. And when He created it, He created it to last until He's done with it. Right? And then the Bible says we're going to get a new heaven and a new earth. Some people have asked me, you know, would you believe in global warming? Well, you know, how many of you think it's been hot here recently? You know, this isn't even the hottest it's ever been. You got to go back, you know, a few decades to find the hottest. So, you know, but the Bible does say that it's all going to be changed in a moment with fire. It's all going to burn up. There's going to be new heavens and a new earth. I believe in global warming, but I believe it the way the Bible says it. In a moment. All right? That's a side note. That has nothing to do with this lesson tonight. All right? I'm just meddling. But we said that the kingdom of God operates according to certain principles and certain, if you will, laws. The reason I like to say laws, a law, because a law is supposed to work for whosoever will at any time. God's no respecter of persons, right? It works for whoever. You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Well, I got great news for you tonight. You are a whosoever. Whosoever shall call, whosoever shall believe in their heart, say with their mouth, whosoever shall believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as their Lord shall be saved. And that principle of that's a law, if you will, of God. And as He said, God operates according to certain laws and certain principles, all right? And so we said the very first law of increase, and we mentioned it our last. We had two sessions in last month on Sunday night, so if you want to go back and get those, you can. But we said the very first law that we're looking at is honoring God, Tell your neighbor, honoring God. That's the very first principle. Honor is a very important thing with God. In fact, I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 tonight. Look what God said here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, it's interesting. At times, people will get the idea that, you know, if God said it, I can just do whatever. It's going to happen to me no matter what, because God said it. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. I'm sorry to tell you that. How many of you know we have to cooperate with God? Right? We have to cooperate with what God's doing. And I want you to, let's look at this here. This is Eli, who was a prophet, and of course, Samuel was raised up under him, but Eli had his own children. But look at verse 22, 1 Samuel 2, 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, how that they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. For it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. And the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said, thus says the Lord. Now look at this. Did I plainly appear unto the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of your father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? He's talking about Aaron here in the house of Levi. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitations, and honor your sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. And now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now I want you to notice here, God had made certain promises to the household of Levi, the son of Aaron, and concerning the priesthood. And Eli here is a descendant of that house. He's of the priesthood. But yet I want you to notice that because of his lack of honor. Now, if you're here this morning, you heard Pastor Hagin talk about this. What does that mean? Putting God first. We'll get into just a little bit more here in a minute. But his lack of honor for God disqualified him from the promise of God. Amen. I know that's not popular preaching and teaching sometimes these days, but it's the Bible. And I'm going to let the Bible teach me rather than what I want to hear. You know, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear God's grace just covers everything. You know, God's grace, because of God's grace and because of Jesus, you can just live like like the devil himself and God will still bless you. And there's people that teach that. But I'm sorry, that's not the Bible. How many of you know when God says something, there's God's side of it, and God does his part, but there's also our side of it. Did you notice it said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? God has provided salvation, but if we don't call on it, we're not going to receive it, are we? So here, and we're talking about honor, and again, we're using this. This is the first principle, if you will, the first law. Look over here again in Malachi chapter 1, last book of the Old Testament. I had a friend who was a pastor, and he happened to be Italian, and he called this the Italian prophet Malachi. Some of you have no idea what that means, but that's all right. You haven't watched some of those movies, right? Malachi chapter 1, look at verse 6. We'll start there. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. So notice the subject here is honor. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my reverence? Fear here means reverence. Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? You offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say, the Lord's table is contemptible. And you offer the blind for sacrifice. Is that not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and pure offering, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but here, notice here, he said, you're not honoring me. They said, well, how are we not honoring you? You know, later on, he said, you're robbing me. They said, well, how are we robbing you? Okay? They were just ignorant of the fact that they weren't putting God first. They weren't bringing God the best. So honoring God is to bring God your first and your best. All right? So let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Honor. To honor, if you look up the word in different Bible dictionaries, you come up with this definition. It means to consider something to be valuable, precious, to appreciate something, to esteem it highly, to respect it, and to favorably regard it. You know, when you think about God, what are your thoughts? You know, there's Christians that they think about God, they think about all that God has taken away from them, all that God has not done for me, all of my dreams and all of my things that I wanted to do in life, God made me give them up. Yeah, God made you giving up going to hell too. Did you know the Bible does not say God will make your dreams come true? I know people think it says that. The Bible doesn't say that. He said he would give us the desires. He would give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in him. Well, I think that's a two-way street. I think when we delight ourselves in him, he puts his desires in our heart. He gives us the desires of our heart. He puts them there, and then he brings them to pass. Amen. I know God's plan for my life's been a whole lot better than my plan. I mean, I had plans. There's nothing wrong with having plans and dreams, but here's the problem with some of that. Yes, and without a vision, the people perish, you know. I understand we have to have hope as confident expectation in the future, but the problem is when I put my spin on what I and my dream, if it's not fulfilled, then I get disappointed and I get down, and that proves right there that wasn't of God. Amen. How many of you know that your life and your view of your life is not dependent upon whether your dreams came to pass or not? Amen. I'm going to meddle here. You ready? I'm going to meddle some more. I had a desire to travel, you know, in the world and do different things like that. It was even before I was a Christian. I always thought that'd be kind of cool, you know. And then I got born again between my freshman and sophomore year in college, so 19 years old, and got born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and really, God started moving me away from. I was in college, I was playing college basketball and college golf, and I was enjoying that. But God started moving me away from that, moving me towards the ministry, you know. And after my junior year, it was too much. I left. I had student teaching and one elective left to have an education degree. And I left and came to Rhema in 1982. But I always kind of had that desire, you know, and there's been a lot of things that you have dreams in that. But I never made it. I don't know. I just sometimes God helps us. Thank God he helps us when we don't even know we're being helped. Right? I just never, some of those things that were a desire, I never made it my focus. How many of you know whatever you place, whatever your focus is placed upon, that will become your direction? But I just never made it my focus. And thank God, you know, one of the things I learned about ministry was that ministry wants to help people. And so when I left Rhema in 1984, left to go home, and we just went back to my home church, just started volunteering back in some places. I helped run the sound. The worship leader asked me to sing with him, so I sang some of that. And within 30 days of being there, basically, from graduation into the month of June, the pastor of the church asked me if I would consider, the worship leader wanted to step down, wanted to do something, if I would consider taking over the worship team, being that, and also they needed a youth leader, and then also being an associate pastor. Okay? And so I did that, you know, and one of the things when I was here at Rhema, and we're talking about honoring God and putting God first. So this is still the subject. But one of the things I know that when I was at Rhema, I would see the instructor, and I thought, man, I would love to be able to do that someday. Just teach people the Bible like that. Go through and just do an extensive thing like that. Well, I'm there serving that pastor. I'm helping his vision for the church come to pass. I'm not there promoting my vision. I'm there helping his vision. I'm going to say something to you that are you're not the pastor of the church. And I'm not. How many of you know I'm not the pastor of this church? You're not the pastor of this church. Okay, you don't need your vision. You don't need a vision for your area of ministry. You need to get the pastor's vision, because that's how God gives vision through whoever he's placed in the position. Hello. I used to hear people say, well, you know, they talk to people studying to be youth. Well, what's your vision for youth ministry? You don't need a vision. Hello. Look at me like that. I mean, I'm not a novice at this. I'll tell you that. This is my 47th year of ministry. I'm not a novice in these things. I'm just going to tell you, because I'm trying to help you here to honor God. So a lot of the things that I've gotten to do in ministry, one of them was to travel internationally and do some things like that. I never set out to do it myself. It always came and became part of naturally helping someone else fulfill what God's called them to do. See, every one of us here at Rhema Bible Church are in a supportive role ministry. Except for the two people that sit right there, and Pastor Denise and Don, you understand. Supportive role. Well, what is our job? To help what God's called Rhema Bible Church to do, help that come to pass. And I'm telling you, I have gotten to take so many adventures over the years and do so many different things over the years and meet so many great people over the years and see some outstanding things and see God do miracles over the years, helping someone else's vision come to pass, helping someone else fulfill what God's called them to do. See, part of, and we'll get to it if we go ahead and go that far, but part of honoring God is to honor God's ministers. Hello. Amen. And there, I'm going to tell you this idea of honor, to esteem them, to value them, to respect them, to appreciate, to honor God. First of all, we honor God that way, and we should treat other people that way too. Let me just say this too, to dishonor, it's important to know what it means to that. It means to treat something as common or ordinary. How many of you know there's nothing common or ordinary about the Word of God? But, you know, Jesus warned about tradition. He said, your tradition have made the Word of God of none effect. So what am I honoring? Am I honoring my tradition? Am I honoring my own beliefs over the Word of God? Am I putting them first place? Am I treating God's word as ordinary? You know, every once in a while, you just got to get a hold of yourself. Get yourself by the ear. Because, I mean, be honest, how many of you sat there and say, well, I've heard that before. You've had that thought come to your mind. Somebody says, let's open up to this scripture. I know. I sat there in Kenneth E. Hagin's class, Faith Library. We had it, Faith Library 1 through 8. 8 terms of him teaching. And I know at some point, obviously, he's teaching on Mark 11. I'm sitting there, you know. I'm 21, 22, 23 years old. Know everything. You know how it is. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, if that man says open up to Mark chapter 11 one more time, I think I'm just going to scream. And he said, well, let's open up to Mark chapter 11. And then he'd say, you know, every time I read this and every time I preach from it, I see something I never saw before. I thought, bless his heart. He must be a slow learner. He's on the spiritual short bus. I did. Don't look at me like that. I did. And then every day in class, he'd say something I never heard before. Just teaching. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Finally, God got it over to me. But what was I doing? I was treating him and Mark 11 in a familiar way, taking it for granted, taking it as ordinary and common. That's not honor. That's not honor. It also means to devalue, to despise. And that's what you see there in Malachi chapter 1. They devalued and were despising the sacrifices. They weren't bringing God the best. They were bringing the lame. They were bringing the blind. They were bringing an animal they wanted to discard and bringing that to God. And the prophet said, look, would you do that to your civil official here? Would you bring that to them? Would they think that you're really blessing them, doing that for them? He said, but you do it to me. Hallelujah. Did you find Proverbs chapter 3? It'd be good if the preacher did too, wouldn't it? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. So you can see when we talk about honor, we're talking about more than increase. We're talking about more than finances here. Of course, it does include that. I thought Pastor did a great job explaining that this morning. Amen. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now I want you to notice that the barns being filled with plenty and the presses bursting out with new wine follows honoring God. Honor. Esteem God. Value God. Respect God. Honor the Lord. Honoring the Lord. One way we honor the Lord, and David was good at honoring the Lord, even though, you know, David made mistakes, we know that. But go back to 1 Chronicles 29. David honored the Lord, and we're going to see here that one of the ways to honor the Lord is to recognize that everything we possess ultimately came from him. David's receiving an offering for the temple. You know, he wanted to build the temple for God. God gave him the plan, gave it all to him, and then David wanted to build it, and God said, no, you can't build it, because you've shed a lot of blood, you've done a lot of things, but your son Solomon. Well, that didn't stop David. David didn't pout. He said, well, if I can't build it, I'll finance it. Amen. Look at 1 Chronicles 20, and look at verse 11. It says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of you, of thee, King James. I'm taking the King James words out here as I go. And you reign over all, and in your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of you, and of your own have we given you. In other words, God, you, if we have it, you gave it to us, and we're bringing back that which belongs to you. Now you can notice here, in, as he goes through this, notice how he's honoring God and talking about the greatness of God and the glory of God and recognizing God and being grateful. That was one of the points Pastor made this morning, being grateful. And we sang that song, just grateful for you that tonight, that second song when we sang. I had that ever since this morning Pastor said, talked about that. I had that in my heart. I was just singing that to myself all day, that I'm just, God, I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful for you. He was grateful, and he recognized God. He put God's word. He understood something. Notice one thing here. David looked at giving as not something being taken from him, but just returning to God what had already belonged to him. See, that's an attitude of honor. God, this is yours. God, I'm just the steward over this. And if you require it, it's yours. How do you want me to use it? And so there in Proverbs, he said, honor the Lord with your substance. Substance there refers to wealth. It does refer to our possessions, our resources. But we can honor Lord with everything that we have about us. How many of you know we can honor Lord with our time? Right? We can honor Lord with anything that we have, we can get our hands on that, in a right way when I say that, and that realize that if it's good, it came from God. Look over in Matthew chapter 6. One of the reasons it's so important to honor God in these things, because this comes out of it shows our heart attitude. And we had mentioned in our previous teaching on this that we need to have an attitude of increase, because God is a God of increase. But we need to make sure that the things that we possess don't possess us. Here in Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Somebody made this statement, money exposes priorities. Now, we're not exclusively talking about money here, but money is something we all understand. Whether you have a lot or don't have any, we understand money. Well, if God has our heart, then honoring him with our substance is not an obligation. It's a joy of life. Now, he said there, honor the Lord. I'm speaking of Proverbs. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruit of all your increase. There's a principle of first fruit throughout the Bible, throughout Scripture. God consistently would ask for the first, not because he needed it, because it reveals the heart of the people and it keeps our heart right. The first portion belongs to God. Throughout the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 23, verse 19 says, the first of the first fruits of thy land shall you bring into the house of the Lord your God. God didn't ask for Israel to wait till all the harvest comes in. He asked for the first. Now, how many of you realize this? Giving the first requires faith. When I give it first, it acknowledges this: God, you're the source of all the harvest. If I put God first place in my life, I'm saying, God, you are my source. I don't have to look to any other. There might be many other, many pathways that God uses, many, many streams that God causes things to flow into my life. But God, you are the source, and I'm going to always honor you and acknowledge you. God is the source of the entire harvest. Nehemiah chapter 10. In Nehemiah, was rebuilding the broken down walls of Jerusalem. And he makes some statements here in chapter 10 to the people. He's talking to the people here. And this subject of first fruits, because first fruits is a continual reminder of all the blessings that have originated with God. He says in verse 35 of Nehemiah 10, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all the fruit of the trees year by year into the house of the Lord, and also the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herd and our flocks, to bring them to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil unto the priest, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the Levites may have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. He's talking about putting God first place. Now, you see, they're firstborn to thy sons. What does he mean? No, they didn't come sacrifice their children. They came and they paid a redemption price. That firstborn child, that firstborn son, they would come to the temple and give an offering instead of, but they did it in honor of that, of God giving them that firstborn. And go back in the law and you can read all those things. But the whole idea was set up so that God would be put first place. Now, not only do we honor God with our first, we honor God with our best. Our best. And that's one of the lessons in Malachi. You know, not what's left over, not careless, but the best. The best. See, some folks' problem is not just that it's not that they didn't bring a sacrifice, they didn't give their best. And so they're actually dishonoring God, and we dishonor God when we do that. Honor always involves giving God the first and the best, not the leftovers. Now, one of the things that helps with that, we have to have the right proper attitude. And we mentioned that increase begins with our attitude. God set this law into motion early on with the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 13. This firstborn principle is something that we see with God. That's why, now listen, when we see this, one of the things about it, think about this. Jesus was called the firstborn of the Father. But then after he rose again, he's called the first begotten from the dead. Did God give his best? Did he give us a leftover? He gave us the best. The first. See, God always does and has always done what he asks us to do. You know, God tells us to forgive. Well, that's because why? He forgives. You ever thought about that? God tells us to do things, but look at it, he's already doing those things. Exodus chapter 13, look at verse 2. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Therefore you shall eat no leaven bread. I read the wrong verse. Verse 2. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whosoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast. Notice this. It is mine. Now, what's it mean to sanctify? To set apart. And when God's talking about sanctify, I want you to think of it this way. Sanctify means to be set apart for divine purpose. Set apart for divine purpose. God has sanctified us. Sanctified us. We're purchased. We're bought with a price. And God has a purpose for our life. And let's end where Pastor kind of ended today, Matthew chapter 6. And verse 33. And have you ever heard that verse before? It's so important. Let's not let ourselves become familiar with it, right? But here's this same idea, Jesus talking about it. You know, because I've heard people talk about, well, not that first fruit thing, that's just Old Testament. Well, here's Jesus talking about it. And then I've heard people say, well, now Jesus was a prophet under the old covenant, so some of that doesn't apply to us today. Okay, let me ask you a question then with that. Where are you going to stop with that? If what Jesus said doesn't apply to us today, because there's people that say, well, I follow what Paul said, not what Jesus said. You know, there's Christians that say that. I follow what the apostle said, not what Jesus said, because Jesus was operating under the old covenant. The new covenant wasn't in place yet. Well, okay, where are you going to stop with that then? Okay, so if Matthew 6:33 is not for us today, guess what? Mark 11:23 and 24 is not for us today either. Amen. Now, I realize there's things that Jesus did say that spoke to the nation Israel and the people Israel, all right? There are some things that he did say specifically to them. But yet, here, he's talking, this is recorded for our benefit, right? So he says, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's he saying? That's another way to say honor God. Honor God. Give God your best. Bring God your first, not your leftover. Put him first place in everything. And he said, all these things will be added. Is addition, is that increase or subtraction? That's increase, right? Addition. I thank God later on, you know, when the Bible talks about multiplication. I like multiplication. What's that do? That increases things faster. But notice here, this very first principle, honor God. Honor God. And of course, if we wanted to just keep it in the area of finances, the way we do that's with our tithe. That's the beginning place. That's the first thing. Okay? Honor God. But we're talking about this increase in the area of every area of our life. So we're not just going to specifically talk about those things. Amen? So we have a part. That's the thing. It's our job to honor him. And he told Eli there, he said, whoever honors me, I will honor. I don't know about you. I need God to honor me. I need God involved in my life. I need God's hand in my life. How does he honor us? He gives us his grace. That empowers us to do what we could not do in and of ourselves. I couldn't save myself, so God honored me by sending his son Jesus to bear my sin. I couldn't heal myself, so he sent his son Jesus to take stripes upon his back that I might be healed. I couldn't redeem myself, so he sent his son Jesus to purchase me. Amen? He's honored us. He's honored us. We should honor him. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Father, you are so worthy of all of our praise and all of the glory and all of the honor belongs to you. Lord, may you be first in every area. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for as we've been taught here, we've been taught, what does your word say about it? We want to put your word first place in every area of our life. Help us, lead us, guide us. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading and guiding us into all the truth, even showing us things to come. Father, we thank you as we continue on in these things. You keep giving us more and more revelation every day. Every day, every day, on how to honor you and how to walk in your plan and your purpose. And we thank you, Father God, that increase shall come. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you need prayer for anything tonight, our men are over here, ladies over here, men come to the men, ladies come to the ladies. Thank you. I saw the ushers getting our first-time guests their gift. Hey, don't make this your last time. First time, you're part of the family now, right? You're only a first-time. The first time. After that, you're part of the family. Come on back and be a part. Hey, don't forget YA tomorrow night. There's a night of worship for that. And then we'll see you back Wednesday night, Hour of Power, 7 o'clock. God bless you. You are dismissed.